Hello, it's Wednesday, August 19th, and this is Israel in 10, the Mizgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. Israel has confirmed striking a Syrian military airbase this week to prevent Turkish forces from establishing a presence there. The attack drew rare public criticism from Washington. The Prime Minister's office says Damascus ignored repeated warnings that a Turkish deployment at the Abu al-Duhur airbase near Aleppo would threaten Israel's security. The US envoy to Turkey, Tom Barrack, called the strike an unnecessary escalation and warned it almost triggered a military confrontation with Ankara. Israel says it acted only after indirect talks with Damascus failed. I'll be discussing that with Mizgav senior fellow David M. Weinberg in just a moment. But first, the latest headlines. Iran has reportedly considered striking US military assets in Europe if President Trump escalates the war. The Financial Times says Tehran has assessed possible targets in Bulgaria and Cyprus, as well as attacks on undersea communication cables in the Strait of Hormuz. One Iranian insider warned there would be no limits on Tehran's response to an attack on Iranian infrastructure, claiming last month's deadly strike on US forces in Jordan was also a warning to Europe. President Trump has reportedly ordered an indefinite halt to talks with Iran. CNN says Trump has grown frustrated with Tehran's refusal to meet US demands, and he's now shifting from seeking a rapid deal to applying sustained economic pressure. That appears to contradict Jared Kushner, who said just a day earlier that Washington and Tehran continued to hold robust discussions. The United Arab Emirates has suspended all trade, commercial exchanges and financial transactions with Iran until further notice. Abu Dhabi cited escalating regional tensions, saying the move was intended to protect regional security as well as the integrity of the international financial system. The UAE says it remains committed to dialogue and regional cooperation. Israel's National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir has visited a facility that's being built in central Israel where terrorists sentenced to death will be hanged. It will include a death row wing, gallows and viewing booths for surviving victims and their families. Ben-Gvir called the project historic, saying it fulfills another election promise following passage of the death penalty law in March. And the remains of an Israeli soldier missing since the first Lebanon war have finally been returned home, 44 years after he disappeared in battle. Sergeant First Class Yehuda Katz went missing during the 1982 Battle of Sultan Yaqub alongside two other Israeli tank soldiers. Their remains were recovered in 2019 and 2025. The IDF says Katz was located in a special intelligence operation with the Mossad, bringing the decades-long search for all three men to an end. The IDF Chief of Staff Eyal Zamir said, "We will leave none of our people behind." Before today's conversation, a reminder, you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at mizgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now here's David M. Weinberg on the recent Israeli strikes on Syria. What is the biggest risk to Israel right now? Is it getting on the wrong side of Trump again, or is it letting Turkey have a military buildup inside Syria?
The Turks under Erdogan are bad actors. Turkey under Erdogan openly seeks to undermine the values and long-term interests of the West and to obliterate Israel. And Erdogan seems to have no problem regularly branding the U.S. as a declining hegemon and an imperialist sponsor of terrorism, and siding with Russia against the West in defense of Iran and in support of the Iranian economy and Iranian war effort, and hosting Hamas military headquarters while still lobbying his friend Donald Trump and gullible Europeans for goodies. Now, Turkey has been moving into Syria and Iraq and across the eastern Mediterranean towards a Turkish-led regional order with clearly expressed Ottoman and Islamist jihadist aspirations. I think Israel was pushing back here against Turkey's settling in a more significant way in northern Syria.
So you think it was worth taking that risk then? Because as you say, Erdogan is President Trump's friend.
Right. We don't know exactly what happened in northern Syria or what led Israel at this time to make this strike. I assume that there was significant enough intelligence about some really bad stuff going down there that made it worthwhile for Israel.
Well, the U.S. ambassador to Turkey, Tom Barrack, warned that this could have triggered a direct military confrontation with Israel. I mean, how worried are you about that?
Tom Barak has been a problematic actor from Israel's perspective for some time. He seems to be somewhat of a shill for the Turks. But as I said, Turkey is an adversary that sometimes cooperates, sometimes undermines American interests in the region. I'm not sure that Tom Barak represents all opinions in the administration.
All right, let's talk about President Trump's other plans, those to disarm Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon. You've expressed skepticism about these plans. Tell us why you think they can't work.
Skepticism would be an understatement in this context. Israelis have every reason in the world to seriously doubt the American hatch plans to bring peace to Israel's southern and northern borders. In both Gaza and Lebanon, as you know, there are deeply entrenched, well-equipped Iranian-backed terrorist armies arrayed against Israel, and nobody has yet met an Islamist truly willing to give up his weapons. Now, you've got to give the Jared Kushner-driven American diplomacy for some credit for trying to defang Hamas and Hezbollah and transform the regional security situation. Remember that nobody in Israel believed that Kushner and his team would be able to wedge Hamas into releasing all remaining Israeli hostages in Gaza. There was a 1 in 1,000 chance of that happening, and yet it did. So the new American plans for Gaza sound good, at least on paper. They're perhaps hallucinatory, perhaps possible. But the notion that peacekeepers, observers, verifiers, vetters, stabilizers, guarantors, and all sorts of other words that are, you know, now being thrown around are going to actually militarily, kinetically confront Hamas and Hezbollah gunmen is a little bit fanciful. None of them, never, ever, not with a single bullet, are going to really confront Hamas, never mind with a company of commandos. And therefore, the American-led Board of Peace plan is problematic.
What's the alternative, though, David? Does this mean that the IDF has to remain stationed permanently across the border in Lebanon, in Gaza, and in Syria?
The short answer is yes. Israel has adopted a forward-looking offensive posture, defense posture, ever since October 7th. And that includes holding strategic territories over what used to be the borders. It means keeping the enemy weak. It means continuing to strike at Hamas and Hezbollah leaders at every opportunity in order to keep them off base and prevent them from rearming and rebuilding. I don't think there's a single Israeli that would support further Israeli withdrawals from Gaza beyond what we've called the yellow line in Gaza, unless and until Hamas is completely eradicated. And there's a long way to go. Even the Americans say it'll take months, if not years, to locate and root out Hamas's tunnel network, offensive attack tunnel network in Gaza, and certainly to collect and destroy all the weapons in that area.
So the IDF needs to stay deployed in these areas for the time being. Just a word on the election. We are, of course, in pre-election season. Do you think that's affecting the security situation? And will we get a clearer picture once the vote is out of the way?
Okay. I want to reject, vociferously reject, the insinuation that the current government is playing politics with security policy and keeping the conflict going with Iran, with Hamas, with Hezbollah, with other bad actors for its own electoral purposes. I strongly believe that Israel will need to be as tough versus these bad actors even after the election, and even if an alternative government is formed here in Israel. So I really don't like, and I don't believe it's true, that the government is playing politics with defense policy.
That's your Israel in 10. Thanks for watching or listening, and I'll be back with you tomorrow. Goodbye.